Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Thursday, September the 27th. Well, it's business as usual today at the General Motors plant in Janesville. Members of the United Auto Workers returned to the plant yesterday afternoon after labor leaders and GM reached a tentative contract agreement. A GM plant spokesperson says workers showed up for the 4:30 p.m. second shift start time. She says the plant will operate just as it would have been shut down for a weekend or a holiday. Union members walked off the job on Monday, marking the first nationwide strike during auto contract negotiations since 1970. The agreement was reached yesterday. We'll talk about what's in this agreement and how it addresses the reasons behind the strike and whether it's a good deal for labor or not, or for the company or not, and we will welcome your questions about it. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Chris Tulik, who is editor of Labor Notes magazine, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Well, it's Katolik.
Katolik. Okay, I got it. I got it. So what was this strike all about anyway?
What was the strike all about? Well, it's a number of things. It's kind of a complicated, strange strike. It's not had a strange atmosphere, I would say, from your typical strike. It didn't feel like something that where workers all came out and one big, you know, there was a dramatic lead up to it, and workers came out and there was a strong, sharp fight. In many ways, it was an extension of what happened at the bargaining table, a complicated sort of mess and dance around health care issues, retiree health care issues, and the creation of what they call a VEBA trust or a voluntary employment benefits trust. And it's also about basically concessions on the side of workers, that the creation of a two-tier wage system, which creates sort of a first tier for or a bottom tier for new hires that are hired in at dramatically reduced wages and benefits. But it was also, the strike itself was an action or an attempt by the UAW leadership to not be presented with 100% bad or negative contract. And what I think that they did was be able to launch a bit of a fight and win some things back around job security and keeping plants in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So what was it? What's in this tentative agreement?
Well, the tentative agreement, not all the details are out. We're not going to see the exact details, and the devil will be in the details about much of it until members start to vote on it. But there are some highlights or lowlights, depending on your perspective, that are already out there. One is, the major one is the creation of this VEBA trust. And the VEBA trust simply is a one-shot deal where General Motors puts in, and we're talking something like around estimated $56 billion worth of retiree health care benefits into a trust that will be either administered by the union or independent trustees to keep up with their benefits. It also includes, like I said, the two-tier agreement where new hires are hired in at lower rates, a wage freeze, and generally bad, mostly things that are negative for workers, with the exception, I would say, of the job security provisions that they seem to be able to hold the line on.
Yeah, and what are the job security provisions?
Well, it seems the exact details, like I said, are not known, but we do know that much of it is about keeping investment in the United States and making sure that plants stay open or new plants are opened in this country.
Yeah. The thing with the retiree health care benefits, it looks like I'm reading that this might start a trend, that this is probably going to be adopted by other automakers too.
That's right. I mean, VEBAs are an old thing. They've been around since 1928. They were set up by the Federal Revenue Act of 1928. But they haven't, and there are something like 11,000 out there, 2,700 that are really active. But their use now is something that's new and something I think you will see being troubling unions and all over the country, and I think something you'll see again and again in unionized industries. It was used first in the Goodyear in the resolution of that strike, and basically it's a way of companies slicing off their retiree health care benefits or other even benefits for active workers and placing them back in the trust at sort of an underfunded level from their total obligations, what they're projecting their total obligations being for the next few decades.
Yeah, and is this I don't know, okay with labor that that the union itself will administer these benefits rather than the company?
It's incredibly controversial inside of labor for a number of reasons. One is the pivotal question is how much is it funded? Mm-hmm. Why it's a good deal, why companies view it as a good deal, is the way to pay pennies on the dollar for their obligations. If you say, for instance, if you're General Motors and you owe $50 billion to your retirees over the next few decades, well, you get the option of paying in at 70% of that cost, and which is what's happening here in, at General Motors. Now, other VBAs that, in other places were basically set up with higher funding levels. At Goodyear, they won at something 83%. So retirees are basically set. Now, what's troubling is there's a few indications that these VBAs could be really bad deals for workers, and this has actually happened at UAW VBAs set up in the early 90s. There's two of them. One was set up at Caterpillar, another at a smaller plant, Detroit Diesel here in Detroit. The one with Caterpillar was set up in the early 90s and essentially went bankrupt in 2005, leaving retirees paying hundreds and hundreds of extra dollars in copays and premium costs directly from their pensions, which was a terrible deal for some of these retired workers who had worked for Caterpillar for 30, 40 years. Terrible, terrible instance.
You know, I understand that Wall Street went bonkers yesterday, happy with this tentative agreement, because apparently this is being viewed as a big win for General Motors. Is that how you read it?
That's correct. It is a big win for General Motors. They're looking at slicing off enormous amounts of what they call legacy costs, which really is retiree benefits and pensions, slicing it off of their line. It'll be a big hit at first. They're going to have to put up something like $30 billion and maybe pay it over a few years, but a big, big win from the company perspective.
Yeah, and but a win in any way for labor?
Well, it can be. It's a mixed bag. In some ways, as I said, mm-hmm. it's not such a bad deal if you have a high level of funding. In some instances, the unions have been able to control those funds, have kept them relatively solvent. But the big worry here is the funding of this level, and it doesn't look like a particular win for the workers themselves. It may be for those who administer the VBAs, but not something that's sort of looked at as a cataclysm, I would say, by the rank and file of the UAW here from retirees and active workers all over the place.
Yeah. Can it be viewed as a win for the workers in this country because the automakers, including GM, say that they could be making these cars with workers in Mexico or somewhere else?
It is. I would say the strike did win those job security provisions, and in that way was something that could be viewed as positive by workers. I would say also, though, about the VBAs, there really isn't much of a solution for these health. I mean, basically what's driving this is the healthcare crisis, that double-digit medical inflation over the last 6-7 years has driven healthcare costs to the roof, and companies that provide these benefits to workers find themselves at competitive disadvantages, which is a solution that really is only can be found out in the larger political realm and sometimes the national healthcare system.
We are talking with Chris Katulik, who is editor of Labor Notes magazine. He's talking with us about this tentative agreement reached by the UAW and GM. The two-day strike came to an end yesterday based on this agreement, but auto workers have yet to ratify it. We'll talk about the likelihood of that or not coming up after this weather break, and we welcome your questions. What do you think of what happened at the GM plants around the country, including here in Janesville? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, September the 27th. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'm going to welcome in the author of the book, Nanny States, who says bureaucrats are turning America into a nation of children. We'll talk to him coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the United Auto Workers strike against General Motors, which ended yesterday with the news of a tentative agreement. The UAW workers are back at work at the Janesville plant of General Motors after labor leaders and the automaker reached this compact. In towns like Janesville, where GM has long been the largest employer, both workers and the businesses that cater to them were concerned about the effect of a long strike. A UAW local first vice president, Brad Dutcher, says he saved money for a year in anticipation of a strike, but is glad to be back at work after a walkout that lasted 2 days. The Janesville workers started going back to work yesterday afternoon. It was the first nationwide strike during auto contract negotiations since 1970. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. If you have questions about this agreement that ended the strike, what's in it for workers, what's in it for management, and let's go to the phones. Tom in Oshkosh is with us first. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I just had said earlier to the lady that answered the phone that I wasn't in agreement with the UAW taking over the funds of the pensioners or the retirees. I'm not sure that they have the expertise to handle something that large, and I think that it's just a bad idea for the UAW to be in control of that much money, just based on the history of some of the things that have happened in the past. So. Mm-hmm. That's my comment.
Chris Katulik?
I would say that's actually a concern that's pretty widespread, even amongst the ranks of the union. I've heard many a person talk about, well, this is like holding our own whip. These things start out underfunded. We know at some point they'll either run out of money or they may have to be able to shift costs to premiums, quality of care. You know, there's some simple arithmetic. If you take, $100 worth of healthcare obligations and put in $60, well, where does that $40 extra or $30 extra if it's 70% go to? It's a really sort of lose-lose situation for union leaders who administer these funds. They don't, as the caller says, many of them don't have the expertise in, say, running a multi-billion-dollar fund, and we're talking massive funds. This will be the largest healthcare entity in the country, potentially, even if you lump in the other two U.S. automakers. We're talking something, the total obligations of General Motors being something like $53 billion. So we're talking large, large amounts of money.
Is this a sure thing that workers will ratify this?
I absolutely do not think it's a sure thing. I think that the strike may have created a political dynamic which makes it a little more likely that rank and filers will ratify it. I think leading up to it, it was not a sure thing, and one of the motivators for the strike was the growing opposition inside of the UAW. When you started to hear from many quarters over the last month, as people started to figure out, well, what the heck is this thing? Really, there was started to be a constant drumbeat, and some likelihood that they would have just plain voted it down in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And do they vote over the weekend or what?
And they'll be voting fairly soon. Yeah. Probably not much time to digest the details of such a complicated deal, but yeah. The vote will be very soon.
Don in Wisconsin Rapids, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. I guess my comment and question real quick is, I guess my comment is, I was not much of a union person all my life, but I think because of the globalization and then the threat of GM saying, well, we're going to take all of these things to Mexico if you guys don't agree, unions have a place in our current society. And my question, I guess my big question is, who's driving this inflation healthcare cost? Because I understand that 30% of the cost of a vehicle is healthcare costs. Is it policy or is it the greed of the healthcare industry? What is it that's driving it, and can we do anything about that? That's basically my question.
Yeah. Do you know, Chris?
Well, that's a great question, one that's pretty complicated. But much of it is, I mean, we live in the most expensive healthcare system in the world. by far twice as much per capita spending, is almost twice as much as the second leading countries. And these healthcare costs are just out of control. Some of it is the for-profit nature of it. Some of it is just the complicated administrative cost. I've heard much of it. You know, we talk about the, you know, people talk about the magic of the market, but which hasn't really happened with healthcare. What we've actually seen is that healthcare costs, administration costs, are actually far, far higher. We're talking thousands of dollars higher per head, per American, than they are in places where they have a national healthcare system or where the government has plays a role in healthcare.
Thanks, Don, for the call. Sherry in Clintonville is with us now. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What's up?
Well, you know, I could weigh in on this other conversation because I'm a doctor in healthcare administration. Oh. But point I had to make was that I grew up in a UAW family, where my father was a part of that national negotiation teams in the 60s and 70s that negotiated all those health care benefits and retirement benefits in lieu of higher wages, because the rank and file thought that they lived on their check and they wouldn't have a way to, and they weren't going to be able to put away enough to take care of themselves when they got older. And I think the General Motors and other big corporations, they negotiated those things that they didn't have to pay off on, and now they're having to pay off on them, and now they're trying to negotiate out of something they promised. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you get around that, but corporations and management of these big corporations have consistently bailed on the American worker.
Yeah, they're bailing Chris Kotelik?
Yeah, I would say that's the sad reality, and the reality that's perceived all through this city here in Detroit. You hear people saying that, you know, I spent 35 years on the line driving rivets, and, you know, and sort of banking on this being at the end of that road, and then you're seeing it dissolve, and it's a sad, sad reality. You've seen it happen in the airline industry, in the major carriers. You've seen it happen in the steel industry. You've seen it happen in a number of major industries, as mostly with pensions, as pension funds are shifted off or pushed back to taxpayers. We've seen that a big trend of that in the last 5 years, of companies reneging on their United Airlines, for one, was one of the biggest culprits in this a few years ago, reneging on their pension fund contributions, and then pushing it back to the government agency, the PGBC, which we all pay for. We end up subsidizing it at 60, and workers end up getting 60% of what they were owed, and we end up paying the bill, unfortunately.
Yeah. Negotiated these retirement benefits in lieu of higher wages. That's why they were there.
That's right.
But auto workers get a pretty decent wage, don't they?
They do. You know, it's crazy the numbers that you see bandied about in the press. They tend to lump in the retiree costs and healthcare costs directly in and say, oh, look, workers are making $70-something dollars an hour, which is just plain not true. Most production workers make about $24 an hour. But as the caller did point out, for many years, one of the reasons, one of the ways they sold concessions and kept labor peace, kept people from striking as they did in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, was sort of trading off wage cuts, or trading off other things like this for these kinds of benefits. In some ways, this is some people see this as a sort of a betrayal of that kind of compact.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned the tentative agreement does include that new workers will be hired at lower wages.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, Roger in Lamira, hi.
Hi, thanks a lot. This is a good point. The strike and the whole issue of healthcare leads us, at least leads me and a lot of people that I know, to believe that this is a good reason why the whole country should start looking at a national healthcare policy. You know, teachers are fighting to keep their benefits when the state of Wisconsin is trying to cut the amount of funding to education, and the teachers and all the school districts are fighting to keep their health benefits, retirement benefits, and it's not any different for the companies that are trying to be competitive, not only in the nation, but internationally. And I really think you take the profit motive away from the insurance companies and let the health industry work directly with the individual and have a single-payer program. It's a good reason that this country should be looking at national health care and doing it very quickly.
Well, do you have any comment on that, Chris?
Well, I absolutely agree with the caller. It just seems to be what's driving much of this, and it's not just an auto, but you see it all around. I read today in the Wall Street Journal about how companies, 69%, companies about in 2000, 69% were offering benefits. That number's dropping. It's actually at only 60% and has been dropping consistently every year. As healthcare gets more expensive, less Americans have it.
Yeah. Well, I guess, do you have any final words on what this means, what's to come with this particular agreement? We have about a minute to go.
I think that listeners should be paying attention. If you're an auto worker, you should be paying attention to the details of this contract very closely. If you're in other industries, if you start hearing those four letters, VIBA, I would look very closely at the details of that. I think that that's something that the lesson of what's happening here with this strike and the settlement.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on. Yeah.
Chris Katulik is editor of Labor Notes magazine, talking with us about the agreement reached between the UAW and General Motors that ended that two-day strike yesterday. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. And thanks to Christina Taylor for on-air production. As always, thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.